Thanks for listening. This is a Molly's Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We'll come and visit us. And we hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just going to get Karen to show a clip again that I showed last week. It was a scene in the film Captain America, where he goes to boot camp. Been talking about the kingdom of God, and you know, made that statement that when we pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven," we're actually declaring war. But just to give you a bit of background before they show this clip, what's his name? Oh, just Captain America. Anyway, he starts off this skinny guy. He's trying to enlist, and he keeps getting rejected. He tries so hard, and he's beat up by everybody. He's a skinny guy, he's weak. And every time he goes to enlist, they go for a medical, and he fails every time because he's just not up to scratch, and people think you're crazy. You know, here's your out. You don't have to go to battle. But he's so keen to get in there and do his bit, you know, to fight, to take up the fight. But he's rejected everywhere. And everyone looks at him and says, "Nah, you're no good. You're not fighting material," until one particular man sees him. And in the film shows, it's actually sees the heart of this guy. And even though his exterior is just not up to scratch, physically very weak, not impressed at all, but this man sees something in him. And, you know, does this stuff later on where he becomes a super soldier, you know, all beefed up. But I'm going to show this clip just to say how God looks and what he's looking for in us. Thanks, Karen. All right. I want to share this morning about we're commanded to preach the kingdom of God. Jesus commissioned the 12 disciples and told them to go. And he says, "As you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of God is at hand." He said, "Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons." All part and parcel of that same message. You know, I think that's quite a tall order. That's what God's commanded us to do. Go and preach that the kingdom of God is here right now. It's here. In fact, he said to his disciples that, you know, I told you that the kingdom of God isn't meat or drink, but it's righteousness, it's peace, and it's joy in the Holy Spirit. Every place that you put the soles of your feet, you bring the kingdom of God. He said, when you enter a house, say, "Peace be to this house," and you bring your peace into that house. Every house has an atmosphere. Your house should have the atmosphere of heaven upon it. Every man in this place, you are to stand before God, to lift up holy hands and to pray, "Your kingdom come." And especially in your own home, you say, "In this home is going to be righteousness, peace and joy." That's the call on every man. Are you up for the challenge? But you know that God, it's amazing in Corinthians, Paul's talking to the Corinthians because they've got this issue of trying to be good at everything. The Corinthians, they want to be the best at everything. And they try, if they get the gifts, they excelled in the gifts, they excelled in all the ministries, they did their best. And Paul wanted to bring them down a little bit in their heart. And he said, "You know, your calling, brethren, not many wise, not many mighty, not many prominent men. Because God chooses the weak things of this world to put to shame the strong. He chooses the unwise to put to shame the wise, that no flesh should glory in his presence." So God chooses differently to us. But the message is the message about the kingdom of God. We're talking about a kingdom that knows no end. We're talking about a kingdom, the power of this kingdom that we're proclaiming, there's no limit to it. So here's a total contradiction. We might be totally weak, but we have an amazing treasure in these earthen vessels, that we have Christ in us. We have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one who is risen from the dead, and he is Lord. Man, while he was alive on earth, the disciples got encouraged and they got bold because they saw the things that he did. And as they preached the kingdom of God, they healed the sick, they cast out demons, lepers and lame were delivered and healed. And they come back to Jesus with great joy. And just imagine the confidence. Wow, we're super Christians, you know. Even the demons are subject to us in your name. I want to say, have you still got the same confidence that you had when you were first saved? Have you still got the same confidence and the same joy that you had when you were first saved? Remember, the kingdom of God isn't meat or drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Jesus said the kingdom comes within you. It's when the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords takes up residence in your heart, takes up the throne in your heart, and you know he lives, he rules, he reigns. When you've got a declaration of he reigns, there's an incredible confidence and a joy that comes with it. So I want to say, have you still got your confidence? Have you still got your joy? When we lose our confidence and lose our joy, maybe we're not in the right place with God. But let me tell you something. He never moves. He doesn't change. He said, I'm with you always. So who moves? We move. What did King David do when he moved? When he said, oh, I want to do a few things on my own, thank you very much, God, so I'll just keep you at a distance. I still believe in you, but I'll keep you at a distance. What, he fell into terrible sin, and what was the result of that? Oh, he was miserable. He was mourning all day long. But at night, he's weeping over his bed, miserable. Physically, he felt the effect of it until the day he says, I've got to confess my sin. And he confessed his sin. You know what he prayed? He said, God, cleanse me and I'll be whiter than snow. If you clean me, I've tried to clean up my act. How many of you have tried to clean up your own act? And you fail miserably. Well, I fail miserably. God says, come clean with him. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteous, says, and I'll be whiter than snow. And then what does he say? Restore to me the joy of salvation. Then I will teach sinners your ways. Then they will be converted to you. So we've been singing some awesome songs here. That joy about the King, he's reigning. And when he reigns in your heart, every place that you put the sole of your feet, you claim for the kingdom of God. You step in a darkness and you bring light. You step into where there's sickness and you bring healing. You step into where there's deception and you bring the truth of Jesus Christ. That's who you are. Have you got that same boldness and confidence? Captain America, the idea there was they produced a super soldier. He goes in this, he gets all the injections and goes into some machine, and I don't know how they did it, but same face and everything. It's amazing. But he's this guy that's beefed up and 10 times stronger than anybody else. And, of course, he's a super soldier. Well, God wants some super soldiers. And to the outward appearance, they're nothing. To the enemy, he laughs. We all know the story of David and Goliath. The enemy wants to see someone head and shoulders strong and got it all together. But God's super soldier, he sends in the weak. He sends in the things that are not. But they're totally trusting in him. They're willing to lay down their lives. But they've got their eye on the King of Kings. And they would say to the devil, you might kill me, but I'm going to raise again. You're not going to raise up, but I will raise up. I am in Christ Jesus. He has the keys of death and hell. No one can take me out of the palm of his hand. that's the kind of boldness that God is looking for you and me to start to live in, start to walk in. He's looking for an army that he can raise up that will bring the kingdom of God wherever he says, as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of God is at hand. So we've been talking about that. I just want to read a couple of things. How many remember Pastor Jeremiah Yap? We had him here a while ago now. And he made a couple of quotes. And I want to go over them again, some of I've put down here. About he talked about the kingdom of God. And he talked about preaching a need-centered gospel will produce need-centered Christians. Too much person, and not saying personal focus is wrong, but he said too much personal focus will lead to self-centeredness. We are either under God's authority and rule, and that is the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God isn't meat or drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So we're either under God's authority and rule, the Holy Spirit, or we're under Satan's authority and rule and everything that comes with that. God is more concerned with the work of the kingdom than the work of the church. He will leave the 99 to go and find the one. I'll cover that. If you think he's not concerned with the church, don't think that because I'll cover that. Here it is. This is what Pastor Jeremiah said. The church is God's movement for the kingdom of heaven on the earth. Do you realize that's what you are? I am? I agree with that 100%. The church is God's movement for the kingdom of heaven on the earth. We are the ones that have been called out of darkness, out of the kingdom of this world. We've been called into his marvelous light. We've been called out of darkness so that we should proclaim the light and love of Jesus Christ to this world that's in darkness. So that's our whole call. That's what we exist for as a church. And he spoke about a pastor mentality. The pastor's mentality is to serve the flock. A pastoral community, the focus is care for me. And talked about the need for an apostolic and a prophetic focus. And that always looks at rule, reign. It's a ruling and reigning mentality. And when you read the words of Paul and what he spoke about, he talks in the book of Ephesians about who we are in Christ Jesus. That we were once dead in sin, but now in Christ Jesus, he has raised us up and made us sit together with him where? In the heavenly places. Do you feel that? Well, sometimes I don't feel that. And I've got to get over this, what I feel about. Because I'll be up and down like a yo-yo if I go by my feelings. The Word of God says that I have been raised up and made to sit together with Christ in the heavenly places, far above what all power, all rule and authority in every name that is named. I'm with him. You're with him. That's where you are. Well, if that's the case, why is this happening? Well, maybe we need to wake up, as we sang. Maybe we need to stir ourselves up and realize who we are in Christ Jesus and take a hold of the authority that's been given to us in Christ Jesus. Begin to use it. Boot camp is all about what? Training for battle. It's not just about, you know, I'm going to be a soldier, I'll put on a uniform, and ta-da, I'm fully equipped. Is that the truth? No. We've got to put on the uniform, but we've also to go through the training. What's the training all about? The training is all about obedience, to see whether we will obey in every circumstance, or will we get to a point and Remember I said from Linus Perry, that quote, that to the degree that you are expendable, to that degree you are useful to the kingdom of God. They overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives to the point of death. It's obedience to the point of death. How did Jesus win the battle? You know, when he came, there's nothing great about him. The whole world looks, there's nothing special about him. Had no form, no comeliness that we should desire him. Nothing special. But what does the Bible say? That he laid aside all of his rights. He was the Son of God. He laid that all aside, took upon him the form of a servant, humbled himself to what? The point of death. He was obedient to his Father's command, go to the cross. That's why in his journey, he's raising the dead, he's healing lepers, blind eyes are opening, the gospel's being preached, signs and wonders, multiplication of food, miraculous food multiplication, amazing things. And he starts telling the disciples, I'm going to Jerusalem after 3 days and I'm going to be killed and after 3 days I'll rise again. Peter takes him aside, starts to rebuke him. That's not going to happen. And Jesus turns around, rebukes him, says, get behind me, Satan. You're not mindful of the things of God, but the things of man. He was obedient to the point of death. And because he laid down his life, went to the cross for you and me, he won an absolute victory. He conquered the devil, conquered sin and death. And we are in him. How awesome is it? So we've got to go through training to become obedient. We've been filled with the Holy Spirit. And the reason, I remember so many times the Holy Spirit telling me, do this. And I thought, no, I'm too afraid. No, I can't do that. No, I don't want to do that. No, that doesn't suit me. That's not my ministry. Ever told the Holy Spirit that? It's not my ministry. Well, the Bible tells you, can't obey a simple command. You've got to tell God it's not your ministry. It's about obedience. That's what we learn. If you'll obey, and to the degree that you're expendable, to that degree you're useful to the kingdom of God. Now, that's what the scripture says. Jesus, when he rose from the dead, he appeared to his disciples, and for 40 days he spoke to them things about the kingdom of God. And then he said, wait in Jerusalem till you're endued with power from on high. And he says, you will be my witnesses. And that word literally means you'll be my martyrs. You'll be ready to lay down your life, to obey me, whatever it costs. Because you're going to go and bring the kingdom of God wherever you set your feet, wherever I send you. That's the call on us. Not, you know, and there's nothing wrong with having a pastoral community. We've got to have all those things. But I'm saying today that we've got to see an army raised up. We've got to see the kingdom of God being brought to pass. And it's going to cost something. If you're not up to the cost, well, don't step up to the line. Stay back and do what you need to do. Pray from there. But if you want to step up to the line, it will cost you something. No soldier is going to be let go into battle until he's made that decision. I am prepared to lay down my life to obey. Are you ready for that? God gives what? The Holy Spirit to those who what? Obey him. How much of the Holy Spirit do you want? You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit. How much power do I want? How much of the Holy Spirit do I want? He gives the Holy Spirit to those who obey him. Are we ready to obey him? Because half the time we can't do what God's called us to do because we haven't gone through the training. Isn't that true in life? We could say, well, I'm going to try and do that. I'll try harder tomorrow. We can try harder all you like, but until you actually get in training, you're not going to have the strength to be able to do it. That's why God says, be strong. Said to Joshua, I'm going to send you in and you're going to kick the enemy out and you're going to possess that land. Well, we've got the same. All the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. How many have received a promise from God and you haven't got a hold of it yet? Put your hand up. I want to see. Have you received a promise from God and you haven't got a hold of it yet? Are you going to give up? No. I've told this story before. I remember Pastor Hal Oxley was going to life ministry for many years. I remember him teaching us. It must have been Bible college. He was teaching us about morale in a wartime situation, because he was a colonel in the army. And he shared many stories. He literally saw men doing what that guy did, throwing their body on a grenade that was thrown. And they literally, he saw it happen. A man threw his body on a grenade to save all the rest. He died, of course, but the rest were saved. And I remember him once telling this story that just incredibly impacted me. And it was in the Middle East, in Gaza. The Germans had the town of Gaza, and they had to take Gaza. They were commanded, the infantry section were commanded as a target that they had to take the town of Gaza. It had anti-tank pylons everywhere. It had barbed wire all around it, so they couldn't get tanks in to take it. So it had to be a military charge, and they knew it was going to cost a lot of lives. And they trained for 3 weeks, hand-to-hand combat. For 3 weeks, they trained vigorously that once they got into the enemy trenches, that they were going to win. There's a lot of physical hand-to-hand combat training that they did. For 3 weeks they trained, and then come the day of the charge, they charged, and literally what was happening, you've sounded the story, and I'm sort of crying when I'm hearing it because it's really impacting me, that these soldiers were literally laying down their lives, falling on the barbed wire, and the men behind them walked over the barbed wire on the bodies of their fallen comrades. And when they finally got, after a lot of loss of life, when they got to the enemy trenches, one of them was worth three of the enemy, because they were already dead men. There was no holding back. There was no self-preservation. They were there to get the victory. And that's the kind of spirit that I think has got to come on the church. Joshua was commanded, as he went into the promised land, be strong and very courageous and meditate in this word day and night. Meditate in it day and night, because then you will be strong and you will be able to do all that God commands you. Obedience. How many of us do you realize that one of the principles of the kingdom of God, the first principle of the kingdom of God, is to hear? Today, God says, if you will hear my voice, don't harden your hearts as in the rebellion. What's rebellion? It's when soldiers won't do as they are told. So Joshua was told to meditate in this day and night. Do you know why? Because the entrance of God's word brings faith. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. So are you strong in faith? If you're weak in faith, it's because you're not meditating on this word. See, it's not about you being mentally stronger, morally stronger, or physically strong. It's not about that. It's about you being strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That's what it says in Ephesians. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power. How do you get strong? Well, you better train. Are you meditating in this word day and night? Because that's the cost of training. Who likes exercise? Exercise is a pain. No pain, no gain. But I tell you what, there comes a time when suddenly the flesh, you see, the flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing. There comes a time when you start meditating in this word, and suddenly these words are going to become like honey. These words are going to be like honey out of the rock. These words are spirit and they are life. Why is it that you can get two groups of people? One can hear and it just goes straight over and it means nothing. Another can hear and, oh, that's, and it can be, it's like a joy. Like suddenly a revelation. Two different people. Two different responses. That's why we're going to meditate. And so if it's not like that now, we'll break through. Start to exercise. And it's a pain. Now, what is it? You want to get stronger. Well, what are you going to do? You start to use those muscles. You start to abuse those poor, innocent little muscles, causing them pain. But the more you do that, then you're going to receive strength and you'll be able to do what God commands you to do. I can do all things through Christ. He is the Word of God who strengthens me. That's as we obey Him. So God is looking for a different spirit in the church. I don't want a spirit in this church where it's just a community focus. You know, bless us, God. Make everything nice for us. I want to see a church where people are willing to lay down their lives to see the lost set free, to break into enemy strongholds, to break into the enemy's camp and loose the captives. The Bible says even the prey of the terrible are going to be delivered. But what's it going to? It's going to cost some mighty men who are strong and women who are strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. See that there? It's out on the foyer and above the kitchen wall. Our mission at Mobile Christian Fellowship is to win people to Christ, to establish them in Christ, to make them useful for Christ, and to release them to go as Christ. That's an awesome mission statement, and it's going to cost us our lives to do that. But tell you what, it's well worth it. It's well worth it. I don't want us to lose our focus, because our focus is to bring the kingdom of God wherever we are. And I want each one of us to be able to do that. Wherever you go, you're going to bring the kingdom of God. Do you know when Joshua was commanded to go into the promised land, there was a tragedy just before that when Moses was there and God had told him to go into the promised land. Decided, okay, we'll send 12 spies in, one from every tribe. And they send these 10 guys to check it all out, and they came back with this report. Man, everything God says about that place is right. You know, it's flowing with milk and honey. It's amazing. That is the ideal place. Those promises are true. They brought back the fruit of the land to prove that it was true that God said about it. But they had a but. They said, but the people in that land are mighty. And there are giants in there. And they said, we are not able to do it. And then one guy gets up, Caleb. And Caleb silences the people. He says, be quiet, listen to me. He said, let us go up at once. Because we are well able. And it's through God. So here's a man who was hearing and meditating in the Word of God. He was a man that was hearing what God was saying. It doesn't just whip over the top of his head, but he heard all through those wilderness wanderings, all through the desert. He heard what God, he saw God's miracles of provision. And when he saw God's miracle of provision, he said, I will never lack. I will never be left lacking because God is my provider. And when he saw God give them victory over King Sion and all his hordes, he said, God is my strength. And so he was able to say, they're meat for us. And then later on, when all the people rebelled, says, no, we're not going to obey you, God. We can't do it. Then God says, but Caleb, he's going to go in because he's got a different spirit in him. He's got a different spirit. You know, every one of you and me, we have a different spirit in us. We have the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. That's who's dwelling in you. The same spirit who raised Christ from the dead is dwelling in you and dwelling in me, so that you and I can say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath, because he has raised me up, made him sit together with him in the heavenly places. Do you know who you are in Christ? Does the devil know who you are in Christ? You need to let him know. There's a different spirit within Caleb. There's a different spirit within you and me. Not a spirit of timidity. Not a spirit that says, I can't do it. It's too hard for me. God, don't you realize how difficult my circumstance and situation is? Well, God chooses the weak. He gives power to the weak, to those who have no might. He increases strength. No wonder Paul prayed that we need a revelation of the exceeding greatness of his power that's available to us because we believe. I believe in Jesus. I believe that he came and lived his life. I believe that he died for every one of us. I believe that he rose again from the dead. I believe that he conquered death and hell. I believe that all authority is in the name of Jesus Christ. There's a different spirit in the people of God. It's a spirit of victory. It's the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. And this is what he said, this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Oh man, how simple is that? No wonder it's incredibly important today that we hear his voice, because that's where faith comes. Now I want to ask you this one thing, because here's the key. God has called you and me. Each one of us has been enlisted into his army. And what did Jesus say? Our commanding officer said, follow me. Follow me. Are you following him? Only you can answer that question. You might be like King David, say, I don't want to follow you for a bit because I want to do some of my own stuff right now. I'm warning you. You do that, you're going to get into big trouble. Well, I know, because I've done it too. Not exactly the same thing, but doing my own thing. Fall into trouble. I've got to get back in line. You know, I used to love reading the story of King David. He raised up an army, the Bible says, that was like the army of God. Man. He raised up an army out of men and women that were discontented, they were broken, they were beaten men. He raised up an army out of that kind of men who were like the army of God. That's incredible. And the Bible describes these men that they were expert in weapons of war. Well, they must have been doing some training. They must have been doing a lot of exercising over those years that they were running from their lives with King David, the fugitive in the desert. All those years of being in the wilderness, running for their lives, what were they learning? They were learning to trust God with all of their heart and lean not on their own understanding. And they learned that God is well able. They were expert in weapons of war. They could fight with the left hand and the right. The Bible says that there were men that could keep rank, that would not break rank. There are many things that are said about them. But all of this comes through training. Well, your whole life following Jesus is a training exercise for you. Don't, if you start comparing yourself to somebody else, you are in danger. Big danger. Because you will then stop hearing his voice and you will look at other things. You'll focus on it. You'll get resentful that God allows somebody else to seemingly get away with something. and he's made it hard for you. You'll lose your joy, the joy of salvation. You'll lose your song. If you lose those things, if you lose your joy, if you lose your song, you're in a dangerous place. And I'll say, get back with him, because in his presence there's fullness of joy. At his right hand are pleasures for more. If you've been chasing other things, trying to find joy, well, I don't need to tell you, you're not going to find it. You won't find it. Get back with him, because there's joy in his presence. Can we stand up, please? I want to pray for people. If you're in a place where you want to get back in obedience with God, because God gives the Holy Spirit to those who obey him. How much of the Holy Spirit do you want? Well, let me ask you, how obedient do you want to be?